I congratulate you all for getting past the big dig. There is a rumor going around Evanston and the neighboring communities, and it involves a couple of our associates. So I'm going to ask, as I share this rumor, I'm going to ask that you keep it confidential. It has to stay here. So these two associates, let's name them Mike and Nicole Perry. Just, just off the top of my head. So they have been completely disenchanted with the banking system here and decided to take their considerable wealth and bury it in their front yard. I got wind of that. And so I went one night, the dead of night, to check out the situation. And I brought with me my metal detector. And sure enough, it began to indicate that below the surface, there was something very valuable. And so I dug. I borrowed one of these earth movers and found the treasure. And then covered it up again as if nothing had happened, zero impact. The next day, hoping that Mike and Nicole had forgotten that they had buried the treasure there, I went and made them an offer for their yard. Because I need an extra yard. That's the story that I told them. I need an extra yard. I will give you this money. And when they came to the door, they were shocked to see me. I never see them, I never go over there. Well, I did once, it's true. And I made the proposal, and apparently they both forgotten that they had put all of their wealth in their yard, and they saw it a way of making some fast money off Father, and they said yes. So I paid them, and I went away and then back in the dead of night and dug up the treasure, brought it home with me after having carefully filled in the hole, replanted their grass. And there I had it, the Perry fortune. Little Christopher will have nothing for his future. Now, I mention this because the gospel parable about the hidden treasure is something that did happen. People didn't have banks back then, and they often buried their treasure in a plot of land. But sometimes they would forget about it. I can understand that at my age, Or they died and left it there. And everybody knew there was buried treasure all over the place, so they would watch for little mounds or little depressions and see what they could find. And it was completely unethical, completely illegal, nasty to do it, but Jesus, in a sense, is praising these ne'er-do-wells, or this ne'er-do-well who digs up somebody else's treasure. He often did this. He used the disreputable to wake up the so-called religious people who felt kind of self-righteous. To wake them up, he would tell these stories in which the hero was somebody who was a crook, to show that those people are desperate. They need to take decisive action to remedy their situation. And so we, or his listeners then, and we today, need to take decisive action when the kingdom of heaven is offered to us. The parables are all about the kingdom of heaven, that mystery that lies just below the surface of our lives. If we pay attention, if we get quiet enough to see that there's a depth there that we can dig up and benefit from, and it gives us great joy, and the treasure is God and God's reign over us. I had occasion to clear out, or try to clear out, my storage space in the basement, and I found all kinds of things, some valuable and some just junk. My many sports trophies that I seldom mention. Paintings, actually. Well, prints. And then all kinds of junk. And so I separated it out and brought the good stuff up. And the kingdom is like that process, similar to last week's parable where he had to distinguish between the wheats and the weed. And notice what's really valuable in our life. And turn our attention to that and desire that. It's a joy that other people begin to see. That man, that woman has found something of surpassing value. It shows in their demeanor, in their face. I was talking to a former classmate of mine who left seminary and got married and talked about his wife as the best thing that ever happened to him. A pearl of great price. Well, even more so, as wonderful as that is, even more so, this pearl of great price, this treasure, which is God and God's love for you. What we long for is union with that God, and it's being offered to us. And God gives us the plan. It's in the letter to the Romans. Listen to these sometimes confusing words, which traces out the plan that for us is better than gold, better than the finest gold, God's word, God's plan to us. St. Paul wrote, "We know that all things work for good for the ones who love God." Isn't that wonderful? We can take our life and like a dragnet, drag it all up and look at it. And even the negative things, even the hard things, even the sins that we've learned from and move beyond are part of the treasure. The scribe who's good at pulling out from the storeroom that which is new and old and bad and good. Look at it all. It all serves God's purpose. We are trained through sometimes our suffering and our mistakes and even our sins. We know that all things work for good for those who love God. For those who God foreknew, so God knew us before we were even thought of by our parents, he also predestined. Now that's a tricky word, and it's been interpreted in a number of ways. The one that people are leaning toward now, and which rings true, I think, in light of the rest of the Gospels, is that we were predestined not for salvation or damnation. I mean, God can see what's going to happen to us, but that's not the predestination that Paul is talking about. We were predestined to be a people of God's possession, to be a light in the world, to be salt and leaven. We were predestined for that. And then we were called to that. Those he predestined, he also called. And you've heard the call. That's why you're here. And that's why you try to live a good life every day. And those he called, he also justified. There's another tough word. What does that mean? Well, justified, in a sense, means made right, made just. We don't self-justify, self-righteous ourselves. But God knows there's something wrong with us. What's wrong with you people? It's important to know that, what's wrong with us, and to see God's action in our life as correcting that as we follow that plan. That's to be justified. And then those he justified, he glorified. There's a glow in us because God lives in us. He foreknew us. Predestined us to be a people of his own. He called us to be that. He corrects the flaws that we've taken on over the years. And he fills us with his own life, God's own life. And we glow with a joy that is beyond understanding. The law of your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces, than all of the treasure in the Perry's yard. More precious to me than gold or silver. Remember Steve Goodman? Well, he was one of my favorites. He died too soon. But in his song, The Lovin' of the Game, we hear these words. I saw the Feather River glide over shining golden sand, struck a silver ribbon wide, held a million in my hand. But beside the looking for, well, the findin's always tame. There's nothing drives a gambler like the loving of the game. And then he finishes with these words. No, the treasure's not the taking, it's the loving of the game. It's not taking what we see obviously in front of us, the worldly treasure. That always ends up disappointing us in some way. But we love the search because there's always more. It's a mystery. We go deeper into it. The parables are about unearthing those wonderful stories, those wonderful realities hidden in plain sight. And so if I took my metal detector, and I'm not sure I'm pointing the right end, but it would start buzzing all over this chapel. There's a treasure there. It would start buzzing over the word proclaimed. It would start buzzing over this exchange of lives, of gifts at this altar. Because for us, we're talking about a different kind of treasure. And the treasure for us is in the taking, in the receiving of the treasure who is God.